And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Good evening. Welcome to In the Green Room. Green. I'm Quita.
I'm Kinga.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Chet, and we wish you a happy Tuesday.
Where's Martin?
Martin, don't forget me. There's no chairs, but I'm here.
Martin's here.
Put your chair closer, Martin. And we are having a full show tonight. Our room is packed here, right, Quita?
Yes, woo-hoo! Absolutely. So if you guys are listening live, don't forget to tune in live on Facebook and Instagram right now. It's in the green room.green. And if you are listening or watching on our social media pages, we want you listening live too. So there are so many platforms.
And we want them commenting. Everybody that's listening, please, we need you to comment and tell your friends because we need to save this planet and the children. We have child help in studio tonight. Woo-hoo! And that's a big deal.
A huge part of saving the planet because our children are our future.
Our children are everything, right?
So together we are all saving the planet.
One show at a time.
Okay, and so we have to welcome Charlotte and Sarah, our new interns from Phoenix Country Day School. Yeah, film each other. There we go.
Hey, guys. Welcome.
And they are going to get their whole school involved, and we're going to get that whole school to be the most sustainable school in Arizona, right? All right,
why
we're going to be doing some events.
Why Arizona? Why not just keep it moving?
In the world, right? In the world. Okay. Perfect. So Rachel and Chet just got back from California, and I'm hoping that they took a lot of sustainable videos and pictures. Did you?
We tried to document our camping trip that was as sustainable as possible. Unfortunately, our phones died. So I guess it was sustainable that we weren't using electricity over the weekend.
We did capture some of our neighbors were using like solar panels to power their electronics.
Next time that'll be us. We learned.
Yeah, they like showed us where to buy it and everything. So now next time we'll be even more sustainable because we'll have the solar power generators. But yeah, it was a really fun trip.
That's pretty. You guys, where did you camp?
We actually went for a festival, and it was cool seeing there's been like a recent festival movement. We're going to do actually an episode on this soon, so I'll just kind of glaze over it. But it's become, since Burning Man, actually we had a past show about that, but since Burning Man has incorporated this idea that it's like a leave no trace or no matter left behind kind of idea with their festivals, and a lot of festivals have been incorporating those green leave no trace messages into their own, even if they're not 100% leave no trace. And the one we had, or the one we went to, was an Insomniac event. They're really good about making sure that the venue is left like just how it was after, even though the campground looked like a disaster. But we tried to do our part and pick up our space as best as possible.
And just so everybody knows, Brett Parker from U of A is listening currently.
Hey, Brett.
And he's going to be collaborating or getting our show involved with events. There's a lot of events. He has a friend that has an event company. So we are going to be partnering our green room to get all those, you know, 50,000 students to be recycling.
Sustainable and caring events.
About, yes. Sustainable events and caring about children. Child help. So we're just so excited. So what's our phone number so people can call in, Quita?
Robin, what is it?
602-393-0113.
So 602-393-0113. And you guys are going to want to be listening. Listen close because we've got celebrity in the house and she's giving out some good freebies. But in order to get those freebies, you're going to have to be listening for that code word.
You're going to have to listen for the code word, and we have prizes, and we've got Evie Claire in the house, and we've got her brother Porter here.
Welcome, Porter.
Do you want to say hello?
Hello.
He follows rules very well. See, that's a good thing.
Hold on. We have to give him a congratulations.
Yes.
He just graduated with a STEM diploma.
Wait. About to graduate.
About to.
I'm a senior.
But you already received a diploma?
No, I'm a senior. I will graduate with it this year.
You will.
But it's
have
happening. Yeah. It's so close. I thought it had already happened. I can taste it already.
He's like, slow it down. Slow it. No, we're still happy for you, and it's still happening. So, yay.
Thank you.
And for our listeners, we've talked about STEM before, but just to catch you guys back up to speed, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And it's essentially a sect of school studies that are extremely important, especially in today's society. And I actually grabbed some statistics for you guys. The average STEM earnings are a lot higher than other jobs. The average job has a salary of about $18 to $19 an hour, and STEM earnings average about $38 an hour, or a little bit over there.
Wow.
Over
brains,
that.
That's a big
brains.
Deal. That's a big difference. And Michael Fulton, the teacher, from what school is here to say hello?
Michael Fulton, I'm at teaching physics at ALA.
Okay, that's right.
Part of STEM as well. Thank you.
So he knows a lot physics. About this topic, too. Can you chime in a little?
Yes, I think it's important to learn, you know, in order to be able to understand sustainability, you need to understand energy and different ways you can conserve energy, how energy is used. And so some of those principles are critical in order to actually understand. If you don't understand what actions you're doing that consume energy, you're not going to be able to identify ways you can conserve energy.
What grade do you teach?
I have mostly 9th and 11th, and then I have some 10th and 12th. They have two different divisions on curriculum, and so I have a little of everything.
So you make a really good point, because when you talk about how this relates, a lot of kids in school, they say, how am I going to use this? I'm never going to use this. And they use that as an excuse, but you make a really good point. You are going to use this. So you say with energy, but what are some other ways, you know, that kids can feel like I'm here for a reason and it's not just because my parents told me?
Okay. You know, they had some reasons here. I mean, you'll make, what's the statistic say, twice as much money?
Almost twice as much, yeah. From $18 to $19 an hour up to 38 as okay. Just an average. Those are just average numbers.
So, I mean, even if saving the planet isn't your primary concern, if you want to make twice as much money approximately, you know, according to statistics, then it's not a bad idea to choose the STEM route.
And I mean in school in general. I don't mean even just with STEM. I mean school in general. That's the complaints I've heard from even my kids way back when, and it was always, you guys are making me do this. I'm studying. My whole life is school. How am I going to use this? Why do I have to do this? I can get a job without it.
Yeah.
That mentality.
Exactly.
So what do you say to that?
Depending on the person, you have to find something that's a common ground for them, something that they would agree on. But I think pretty much everyone that's listening to this probably is listening to it because they want to live a lifestyle that's greener, that they're, you know, they're reducing their carbon footprint. They're reducing the amount of pollution that they're producing, the amount of things that they're wasting. And so I think helping people to identify what things they're doing that are consuming energy and resources is important. And, you know, areas such as, you know, physics, biology, different sciences, mathematics even, is going to help them to be able to understand the actions that they're doing, you know, how much fuel they're burning, how much energy it takes to be able to power the lights in their house, and how much resources it takes to throw their trash away. And
so, Porter, how are you going to apply this in your when you go to college, and have you chosen where you're going to go and what you're going to be studying?
Yeah.
Tell us. Tell us what we want to know.
Bright horizons ahead. We're so curious.
I haven't chosen a college yet. I've been thinking about a lot of different schools, but I am pretty sure I'm going to study physics. So a lot of that science and mathematics, I'll be like directly applying in my career. But I had a math teacher a while back who told us, a lot of kids were saying that same thing. They were complaining. They were saying, we're never going to use this in our lives. And he was like, you're probably right. Like a lot of the things you learn in school, you probably won't directly use. But he made a good analogy. He asked a kid in our class who plays soccer if he had ever done push-ups during practice, and he was like, "Yes." He was like, "Yes, obviously,
oh my gosh.
I've done push-ups during practice." And he was like, fun. "Well, have you ever done push-ups during a soccer game?" And he was like, "No, I've definitely never done push-ups during a soccer game." So he said, like, math and science are the same way, that even if there's a concept that we don't use in our careers or in our futures or in our daily lives, they still sharpen our brains and they make us, they improve our thinking skills, make us smarter people.
I love it.
And it's just part of the, like, foundational building blocks for greater knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's important to be well-rounded and have that base of education so you can build off of that also.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you wanted to talk today about plant and animal biodiversity. You had mentioned that.
Yeah.
So is that something that you're passionate specifically about and want to apply in your future? Or is it just like a topic that you find interesting?
I don't know. Maybe. I really, I say I want to go into physics, but really I'm still, you know, not sure. But I'm in the biotechnology track at STEM in my school. And basically what that means is we explore the ways that we can interact and manipulate utilize the other organisms on this planet for the better use of humans and the planet in general. So we talk a lot about biodiversity and sustainability and how we can use biotechnology in order to preserve biotechnology, because without, you know,
these new discoveries that we're finding specifically from like the biodiversity, like the more expansive the species pool, the species gene pool is, the more opportunity there is for scientific discovery from finding something new out of one of these little subspecies that we've maybe never explored before. So losing biodiversity is almost like cutting off our future discovery.
Yeah.
Which is, we can't measure how helpful it will be now because we haven't discovered it yet. So it's kind of hard to say that it's important, but it's invaluable to our future.
So I know you're all about all these topics that our show's about. And one of them that is really important to me is wildlife conservation. And I yesterday was watching a video about polar bears and about how 800...
For our listeners who don't know, Kinga loves polar bears.
I'm obsessed.
So much.
I'm obsessed. I talk about them all the time.
So much. I think that's her sole, like, driving force. Or I'm sure there's multiple driving forces behind.
Sea turtles yes. And dolphins, yes.
But
and
it's
sharks.
Mostly these cuddly animals that she loves.
I love them. So I was just watching this video. She's right. I was watching this video, and there's a guy reading a book. I can't remember the title, but I do feel like if we all start making changes today, and even though we want to help save the children, we want to save the planet, we want to save the polar bears. And I know you're all about conservation. Do you have any great ideas that could really, if everybody started making changes, that we could still save those polar bears?
Polar bears, I don't know. I mean,
honestly,
we might just have to let go of the polar bear. No, I'm just kidding. But no, we talk about wildlife conservation a lot, and the reason for that being, we talk about, we have a big, big section in biotechnology of virology, the study of viruses, and pathology, and epidemiology, the study of diseases, and how we can combat them. And we found that the source of a lot of these diseases comes from deforestation. So when we deforest areas and we drive animals out of their natural habitat, they a lot of the time end up in human habitats, and that's where a lot of your zoonotic viruses like Ebola and Zika, all these animals, they get driven into human spaces.
Yeah. Areas.
Oh, that's another animal I love. Orangutans are apparently getting driven away because of palm oil. Because people are putting all these plantations for palm oil, to make palm oil. And so everyone's supposed to boycott nothing.
Vote with your dollars.
Yeah,
don't
buy anything with palm oil, because that's like
only
a no-no.
Only use sustainably sourced products.
Yes. Yeah, so do we need to go to a song?
No, not just yet, but I have a question. Okay. I do have a question. I want to know what inspired you, because it is obvious the way you speak, the way you carry yourself, you are passionate about what you do. You're an intelligent kid.
Thank you.
You don't want to. You're still a kid. I can still say kid, right? But what inspired you to keep going and to even go in this direction?
I don't know. I guess ever since I was, in elementary school, I've always loved to learn. And my parents have always pushed me to pursue the things that I love. They are definitely a big part of instilling that love of learning in me, of, always making sure I'm getting my homework done, always making sure not only that I'm doing my work, but also getting the most that I can out of my work.
That's impressive. And Michael, I'm sure you're around kids all the time, some who are very much inspired and others maybe not so much drive.
Yeah.
What is your advice maybe for parents who are pushing their kids but they're not getting these results? What can us as parents do to kind of inspire kids to want to stay in school and actually be driven and motivated?
I think it starts early. I know with I have some little ones, and I think exposing them to exciting things, like, for example, my three-year-old loves robots, and so letting him watch me build a robot, letting him watch me work with microcontrollers and electronics, letting him watch me solder, you know, things like that helps them to introduce them to, you know, some of these different areas of STEM. And then, I don't know, letting them watch you build lasers or whatever it is that you like doing, just letting your kids be exposed to those technologies at a young age, gets them excited and makes them want to understand why and ask those questions. And, you know, don't silence them when they're asking you a bunch of annoying questions, but, you know, entertain their answer, their questions with more answers. And
Rachel and Chad, I think you guys turned out pretty good.
You would always take us to the science center and the zoo. Always. I think we were going to the zoo just so you could look at the animals, but we went to the science center for
the
us.
Polar bears?
Yeah.
And we went to SeaWorld and the San Diego Zoo all the time, too.
And also talking about how being introduced to technologies at a young age definitely has a strong effect. I would agree with that because we got a piano when we were, 5 and 7 years old,
yes.
And now we both are still writing music, so exactly. It like has had a long-term influence.
But at the zoos and all the science museums we went to, I'd make you guys read the science. We'd sit and read the science.
We would every single sign.
We wanted to. It wasn't like, shouldn't like hold our head. Make you read the
science. I wouldn't be surprised, I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, she does a lot of reading.
They actually tried to keep Kinga, but she's here today, so that didn't work. But one thing I did want to say, too, just like about biodiversity, touching on this for our listeners, too. Of course, some of those big, beautiful animals, and part of the reason why we want to keep them and keep our forests completely intact is for the aesthetic value. You know, humans have this this undeniable connection to the earth and its beauty no matter what, even though we don't always treat it like we care about it as much as we should. But beyond that, there's obviously the scientific value of biodiversity, like the discovery value that we mentioned before. And then also currently the economic value of biodiversity is huge. Which brings me to the controversial topic of GMOs. Like, for example, almost all the bananas that we eat are the exact same variety. So if one thing were to happen, like one devastating disease were to happen or were to attack the common banana that we eat, the world would not have like the same supply of bananas that we do today, which is, I mean, it's just a banana, but on a large scale all over the world, like that definitely makes an impact. And a lot of our crops are...
Order. Can we hear this?
A lot of our crops are just like one.
What do you have to say
about variety?
This?
Yeah, I actually did a project on bananas. Of all things, last year I did a project on bananas.
You're from our banana expert.
Yeah,
thank you.
So that's actually, bananas are a super good example of why we need biodiversity and how genetically modifying our plants can help us maintain that. Because people might think, oh, like the bananas aren't going to go extinct, but it happened. If you've ever noticed that banana-flavored candy doesn't taste like bananas, it's because it does taste like bananas, but it tastes like a different kind of banana called the Gros Mache banana that we used to have until it went extinct from Panama disease in the 60s.
Whoa.
So,
I did not know this.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
I didn't know we already had a banana
every
extinction.
Every show we get to learn. Don't you love it?
The bananas, within like a decade, all the bananas went extinct. So now we have the Cavendish banana, which tastes not as good. It requires some artificial ripening. But they have the same problem, and Panama disease is still around. So
okay, this has nothing to do with that other than some people like their bananas really brown, and some people like them really yellow. I like them really yellow. Rachel likes her bananas brown. Rachel?
You're a weirdo.
Not fully brown. I just like them sweet. I wish we had those old bananas that tasted better.
So we have Evie here back in studio, and she's going to be singing a song. What are we going to be singing?
So I'm going to be singing with my little sister. This is Kira.
Hi, Kira. How exciting. How old is Kira?
She is 12.
Okay. And what grade are we in at 12? Remind us.
Kira, you're in seventh grade, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. She needs the mic a little bit lowered.
Sorry.
Just if you want to be heard, you have to go right to the mic. Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, while she's getting ready, guys, remember we have a contest coming up. Evie, do you want to tell people what they're going to be taking home? What is our winner?
Oh, it's my album? I didn't even know.
It's a surprise.
Oh, you win my album. Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Okay, so here are the rules, guys. Evie's going to sing, and you're going to listen to her whole song. Once she's finished, the first caller, the first two callers that call, and our code word is going to be Porter.
Oh,
okay. Porter is the key word. Here we go. What's the phone number, Quita?
602-393-0113. Write it down, guys. If you're calling right now, we're not taking your call until Evie finishes. It's when the song stops, you call and say Porter, and those first two callers is going to get that album. Do you want to tell us anything about this album they're getting, Evie?
I had a really fun time writing this album. The first song that I wrote for this album, I wasn't even planning on like making an album out of it. It was called Okay Day. I wrote it with my little sister,
who's
right here, and Porter.
Left you right out.
She shortchanges me every single time. I wrote like
two lines.
I wrote like the whole second.
No, you did not. You wrote two lines.
Well, keep saying that. You came to me and were like, Porter, I can't think of anything to write. I need your help, please.
Okay. Well, let's just
two lines. Two lines is a lot. The song wouldn't be complete.
Yeah.
Without the two lines.
It's
try taking them out.
all right. Well, this song is called Will I Be Enough. This is one of my favorite songs from the album.
Okay.
When the day comes and the seasons have gone, will I be enough? Looking into this hourglass, getting closer to your love. So in your arms, just take me to a place I've never seen, where we can stay forever and live inside a dream. Holding on to what I think this feeling's telling me. I want to know that I will never have to see you leave. So I will give you all my love. Never question what that could bring us. But even then, will I be enough? Still, when I was just young, when I caused us pain, you say all these words, but deep down I hurt. 'Cause what if I never change? So in your arms, just take me to a place I've never seen, where we can stay forever and live inside. Holding on to what I think this feeling's telling me, and I want to know that I will never have to see you leave. So I will give you all my love. Never question what that could bring us. But even then, will I be enough? But on my own, can never make it fine. And you're my hope, and you'll always have my heart. And now I know that you were sent for me, and I can tell that this was meant to be. Holding on to what I think this feeling's telling me, and I want to know that I will never have to see. So I will give you all my love, never question what that could bring us. But even then, will I be enough? But in the end, will I be enough?
Wow. Gosh, you guys have such Angels. A beautiful voice.
I love it. I have chills. Oh my gosh. You guys are so good. Such a perfect song. And you guys were perfect in pitch and everything. And I, it's so great to finally meet your sister.
Yeah. She's cute, huh?
So
other than those two lines that Porter wrote, what inspired you with this song?
My mom said polar bears.
Polar bears, I love it. Polar bears, sea turtles, tigers.
Like, please write me a song about polar bears.
Sharks.
Well, I kind of wanted some like diversity on my album. Like I wanted some different types of songs. And for like when I was trying to write another song, I was kind of stuck. And I actually watched the movie Chicken Little. And, like, there's a part of it where they play a song, like, in the background. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is such a pretty song. And so I was like, I want to write, like, a pretty song like that. And so I had a friend of mine who does, like, some of the audio work on the music and stuff. He came over, and he actually helped me write this song. And
I love that song.
To make it, ooh, like, the chords sound pretty on the piano and stuff, because he's really good at that. And so it was super easy. Like, everything just... Like, when we started it, like, all the words just kind of came to me, and it was like, I knew exactly what I wanted to write. Before I sat down, I was like, I have no idea what this song is going to be about, but, like, as soon as I started singing, like, all the words just kind of came.
What I love is you have such a big influence over your peers, and because you have such a huge following, and I think it's so awesome that you can make such an impact for the better.
Yeah.
With your words and your songs.
Thank
it's so beautiful.
You.
So thank you. We're so excited to have you sing two more songs, but I think... Do you have anything to say, Quita or Rachel or Chet?
Well, I want you thinking, because when you come back, we have a whole lot more questions for you. But I prefer to just put you on the spot.
And when are we having that call in? Are we? The
calls are in. We've got. It looks like we've got our winners.
We do. We have somebody call in.
We've got one. We've got.
So are we going to put the caller on?
I think we had to hang up one while they called during.
They want to get somebody on the phone right now. Let's put them on real quick.
Right.
Yes, we want them on. Let's put them on.
Oh, we're putting them on the spot. They definitely don't realize that they're going on the phone.
No.
Yes.
We're gonna write their information down, and then we'll get that other one. So there's still one more call.
We're a little too eager.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Evie. We're excited to hear.
Okay, so we had a winner. We had a caller, but we're not going to put them on. Okay.
Not now.
Oh, yeah, we want to. Are they ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Who is this?
Hey, friend.
Hey, can you hear? Can you hear me?
We can. Who is this?
Oh, all right. Yeah. Hillary will tell you I'm a private person, so I'm not going to give out who I am yet.
Okay.
Oh, he's a mystery caller.
Okay, so a mystery caller. You don't want to divulge your name. That's okay.
But they know who I am. It's Charlie.
Okay. And Charlie,
it's not
what
a mystery
was that code
anymore.
Word?
It's Charlie.
What
Charlie?
Was the code word, Charlie? Do you know the code word for you to win that?
Oh. Of course, it was when she said Porter, talking about Porter taking out those two lines.
You were
after
listening.
Every sang the
song. Oh, okay, all right. We've got a winner.
All
we've
right.
got a winner. All right.
We will get your information.
We will win a free
and,
pet polar bear.
Thanks for calling in.
We appreciate you calling.
Well, my first name is Charlie, and they all know me.
Okay, Charlie.
Charlie, should we call you Chuck or are you Charlie?
She just changed her name.
I go by Chaz more than...
Chaz? Okay, Chaz.
Okay. Well, Chaz, we're going to get your information, and we're going to email you your MP3 of that new album. So thank you for listening,
and thanks for calling in.
I do know who this is. He's been a big fan of mine for a while, so thank you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Wow, that's wonderful. Hillary, thank you so much.
Hillary has my email list, so she can give that to you.
Okay, wonderful.
And hopefully next month when we have another contest, you'll be calling in and winning again.
Yes, but I want to actually concede this to another caller, if I could. I would like to defer to the next two callers. Would that be all right?
That is awesome, and that is so kind of you. So for those of you guys who can't hear him on our social media pages, he is saying... He loves Evie. He knows the family. But you know what? I am going to let the next two callers win that. And that is so kind. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. And tell everyone about the show.
Oh, I will.
Okay, thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chaz.
Bye.
Bye.
Evie, thank you. And we're going to have you back here in a little bit for some more music. And we're going to have Porter and Michael back as well. But we got to get in a little bit.
So we're back now to Saving Children and with our Carol and Jim Hebbets. And they
Welcome.
Are with Child Help. Here we go.
And this
Welcome,
is
Carol.
A situation that, you know, we're talking a lot about kids. And we've got one extreme here where these kids are intelligent and perfect and they're doing all the right things. But all kids don't do that. All kids don't have that same lifestyle, unfortunately, and that's where you guys come in, right?
Okay, we're ready.
You're ready? So tell us, what is Child Help? What do you guys do?
It is the largest and the oldest and probably by far the most famous child abuse organization in the world. January 1 will start the 60th year of a journey that two former Hollywood actresses created in 1959. So Sarah O'Meara and Devon Federson, both residents here in Paradise Valley, began the charity. They were Hollywood actresses. They were on the old Ozzie and Harriet television show. They were the co-stars with Ricky and David, the girlfriends, in fact, of Ricky and David. And a journey began, an odyssey began way back then with those two young women as they were chosen to be our USO entertainers and sent overseas to do that. And during that journey, they experienced one of the world's most profound typhoons and found some abandoned orphaned Amerasian children and began a journey, an odyssey, if you will, that took them away from the entertainment world and took them into a brand new life, something God had chosen for them from the beginning of time. And that was the start of what today is Child Help. 10 million little boys and girls later that they've saved over the last 59 years, both currently nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize and the American Medal of Freedom.
I'm getting chills. There's nothing better you can be involved in. And I'm so excited that we're collaborating with you guys now. And Rachel's working for you guys,
amazing.
Too.
It's
a miracle, huh? Miracles are all over the place.
Miracles are happening.
It's an honor to have you guys here today, especially representing such an amazing organization. 10 million kids, listeners. That's amazing.
Yeah, life is great.
And there's the fun side, the good side of that, and the sad side of that. And the sad side of that is that there are that many kids who need help, and there are even more out there.
For sure, I think that we struggle every day recognizing that little boys and girls, nameless people to so many people, but people who have a story. And I think if we look around in the world we live in, everyone, all of us, have a unique story. And these little boys and girls have no voices, so that's what Sarah and Yvonne have attempted to do. That's why Carol's involved as my wife in the middle of this. And it's a journey that I think the two of us now, almost 20 years later, have been so thankful and grateful for sharing this journey with Sarah and Yvonne.
Well, I think it's so important to get the younger children involved, and I know you started another chapter that's called Wings. Carol,
yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Yeah, so I started a group probably about 15 years ago. And it started out to be for mothers and daughters, and then we expanded it because the mothers had sons as well, and they wanted to have them involved. So now it's more of a family event. And they do events, and they do charitable work, and it helps them to understand what philanthropy is and understand that there are children out there that don't have it as well as they do.
Because I think it's really important for the younger children to recognize signs of abuse. So if one of their peers, one of their friends is maybe going through something that, you know, they're in a bad, you know, neglective situation or a severe abuse situation, they can recognize the warning signs.
Yes.
So that they can pay attention and then report it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those are their friends. And if we can start that at a young age where they can go in there and, you know, let the world know, okay, you know, quietly, Sally's being abused, I think somebody can look into it. Yeah. Is that the way it goes?
Well, absolutely. But I think more importantly, the prevention program that we have is really trying to get out there to all the children so that they understand really what is the cycle of abuse and how they can change it by making a difference in their own lives.
Well, to our listeners, one of the things that I think is so, or that has led to the immense success of Child Help is that the numerous alleys in which they attack the problem of child abuse. They're involved in prevention, intervention, and treatment, and then as well as community outreach. So I think going at the problem of child abuse from the like early stages or before, trying to get to the root of the problem, and then also having an entirely different alley to attack the problem through an intervention, and then also following up with treatment really is what makes Child Help.
So healing the impactful. Children, that's a big part of your, thank you, Rachel. So healing the children, once you find the children that need help, do they eventually get to function in society?
Absolutely. So that's our goal, and hopefully not to go back to the abuser, but to teach them how they can better survive in the community. And some of the facilities that we have are the children that go there are the most severely abused, the ones that are burned on the back, that are, you know, told they're horrible and raised in cages and fed out of bowls, and it's horrible, some of the things that happen to these children. So when they go through our villages, they have all encompassing tools to teach them how to be self-sustaining and be back into society and be able to sustain. And that's the whole goal.
Well, once again, our show is about positivity, and
yes,
it's about saving and being the solution and taking these problems and finding solutions. And you guys are the solution to child abuse.
Absolutely.
So then what are some of these techniques then that you guys do with these kids to help them?
So if, let's back up just for a touch, because Sarah and Yvonne were really two women who begin this journey, Ronald Reagan, Nancy Reagan, Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, Bob Hope, Frank Sinatra. They were the founders of Child Help. They were the ones that were co-creators of the organization. In the earliest days, there were no programs in America that dealt with child abuse. Nobody even knew it existed. In fact, when Sarah and Yvonne were asked by Ronald and Nancy Reagan to address the issue in America, they didn't even know it was a subject matter. There were no classes. There were no facilities. There was no education or training. There were no credentialed people. So to Rachel's point, what Child Help really began as a journey 59 years ago was an exploration of how do you identify and treat something no one even realized was in existence in America. Mm-hmm. So they had to create and formulate laws. People honestly may not know this, but Sarah and Yvonne have been in the seated Oval Office of every president from Jimmy Carter till the last one. They have shaped what are today in America all of the major laws in our country. They went from creating the laws to then finding out how do we create prevention education so that children, little boys and girls, 4 years, 2 years, 1 year, children coming from birth that have been from alcohol and drug addicted parents, natal nurseries that have to take children in those circumstances, all the way through physical and sexual abuse. Those children had no way to identify their issue, so they created the first prevention ed programs. They created the only 24-hour-a-day hotline that exists in America today, manned by master's and PhD-level people only, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 35 years of doing that. 250,000 calls a year come in, all languages, all cultures. Imagine from there, they get sent someplace. So here in Arizona, we have the most famous facility. It's our facility down on Central Avenue. Advocacy Center is what it's called or termed. It's a place where a child goes, where all organizations that treat or deal with child abuse cohabitate. Never had happened before. Police Department, Child Protective Services, District Attorney, forensic interviewers from Children's Hospital, all cohabitate to interview a child in the midst of abuse so that literally with less than an hour, they can adjudicate what needs to be done for that child. And then eventually, you got to treat them, right? You got to take them someplace.
In these extreme cases, I assume the kids are not going back into the homes.
Yeah, well, the tragedy was for sure, for a very long time, they did. Because in the original days of how treatment occurred is the police would find a child or Child Protective Services or a hospital. Then you have to go through periodic interviews with all of these agencies before you could adjudicate what was to happen. So over a 4 or 5 or 6 weeks period, that child was still exposed to the abuser and the family of the abuser. It was only when Sarah Navon pioneered for the first time ever a single location, cohabitation of all those agencies in one spot, that within now an hour, we address it. The child's removed. They're taken someplace safe, someplace that they're secure. And from that point on, law enforcement, child protective services can begin a journey of rehabilitation. And then lastly, we treat the children, whether they're in residential facilities like group homes or foster care, or frankly, as you just heard Carol say, where they're taken to the most unbelievable settings. We call them villages, but it's where the intensive care child is taken. Children who've been abused sexually and physically so horrifically that it's beyond our comprehension. They're the last stop. We are the last stop before a child goes into a mental facility in a lockup capacity.
Well, I know there's some event in California, December 2nd, with John Stamos. Yeah. What is that event?
That's at the Village in Beaumont, California, and we do a Christmas program that the children put on, and it's really phenomenal. They practice and practice and practice, and these kids, if you walked in there, you would not know that these children were abused children at one time. They have found a place that feels comfortable and at home for them. Some of them, the only place they've ever felt safe. And so they put on a Christmas program, and John Stamos has been, for the last 30 years, he has been our MC, and the kids love him. He's just amazing. He just really gets right down there with the kids. And that is on December 2nd in
Beaumont.
I'm
so excited. We're all going.
Yeah.
The green room's going to be there.
All right.
We'll be supporting it.
All right. That's awesome.
You and a thousand other people, because that's how many people show up.
Absolutely.
Woohoo. And you guys can too. Our listeners, donations are always acceptable. On the website, go check out Child Help. And then also, this month is Superhero September, I found. And you can send in action figures or a superhero t-shirt to the Arizona location. The same one that you mentioned?
Yes, at the Advocacy Center.
The exact address is on the website, and we can post it on
In the Green Room is going to be giving a percentage of our sponsor money to proceeds to Child Help. And so we're very excited about that. And we're going to our bags and shirts and water bottles and all that that we'll be selling everywhere. We're also going to give a percentage to Child Help.
Such a great cause. Yeah.
So I do have one more question.
Sure.
So, you know, you guys say these kids are abused, which means they have tons of fear toward their abusers. So what's their first step? What do they do when they are having this fear? Because if you're afraid of what's going to happen, how do they move on?
So above the door of every facility we have across America is a sign that says all who enter here will find love. So that's the first step in the journey, safety and security, somebody to take them in and demonstrate in a real way they can. Secondly, and most importantly, perhaps beyond that, is we use every modality of treatment there is. So it could be physical therapy, animal therapy, spiritual therapy. By the way, we're the only agency in America that gets federal funds that has a chapel non-denominationally in every facility we have, fully permitted by the federal government. So it's been
a
beautiful
journey.
That is
so important. Yeah. I love to hear that.
They need to have that spiritual concept.
That's such a big deal.
Right.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay, but I mean, how do kids get to you guys? Like, if I know a kid who's being abused and they're afraid to say something to their parents, that's where I'm trying to go. What's the next step? What do I do if I'm at home and I'm being abused?
So they get to us by our hotline. Mm-hmm. Somebody will call in there. They get to us by being taken to our advocacy centers across America.
Okay.
They get to us often because Child Protective Services or the police department will seek us out. They'll get to us because the media picks up on it. I don't know if you catch here in Phoenix, but probably once a week, there is some feature on the news of a child being brought to our advocacy center here on Central Avenue. Literally, about once a week, there's a story. So they get to us from a host of ways. And once they're there, then we have to find out what's the right doorway of where we take them next. Do they need forensic interviews? Do they need Child Protective Services or law enforcement to engage? And ultimately, at some point in time, how that child's brought to us. Sometimes it's a school teacher. Sometimes it's the hotline where somebody's reporting it in. And I'm going to tell you tragically, there's plenty of times when we get calls from little boys and girls in the midst of abuse, hiding under a bed, in a closet, begging for help in that moment, believing that in the next second the abuser's going to enter the room and begin to tear them apart. And so if you've seen the song Martina McBride did, Concrete Jungles, you'll see on that the picture,
Concrete
the story, Angel, you'll see the storyboard of what really happens in the real world. the little boys and girls we receive.
And well, the hotline number is 1-800-4-A-CHILD. So if anyone is in need of that, can share that. It's really important.
1-800-4-A-CHILD?
For a child.
Okay, so I volunteer. I don't want to say right now, I don't, just because it's what I'm going to say, I don't want to say the name of the organization, but I volunteer for another organization that helps abuse kids. And occasionally the parent, the abuser, comes to see the child.
Right.
And so I'll say to some of the, you know, the workers there, oh, you know, why are they allowed to see the child? And they say, well, eventually we try to get them back in the home. And that I don't comprehend. I don't understand that. But anyhow.
So the journey is always, can you find healing for both the abused and the abuser together? Many times, in fact, often you cannot. In the real world, the real truth of what you're observing is it becomes impossible, if not at least significantly challenging, to get that child reconnected. But they can often get reconnected with members of the family. There are rare occasions when the abuser somehow recovers from what's going on.
That's great news. So, guys, again, it's 1-800-4-A-CHILD.
Correct.
It's That's a sad situation that you guys are healing and making as positive as possible. So thank you guys for being on.
You're welcome. That's Thanks so much.
But it's important for everyone to know that they're going to be on regularly because we are now partnering with them. So we'll be hearing from them a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
It's important to bring light to that whole situation because a lot of people don't want to talk about it because it is so sad. But it's something that exists and that we have to confront. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Evie's here to cheer us up a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
again,
you so
it's
much.
1-800-4-A-CHILD. 1-800-4-A-CHILD. Now, Evie, follow that.
Well, this song is "I Need a Hero." I wasn't actually.
Oh, that's perfect timing.
Yeah.
You're a hero right now.
I didn't even know that
Jim
they
and Carol,
were...
you guys are heroes. Thank you.
Yes,
you are
sure.
Angels and heroes. Thank you. We love you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
And when they said it was Superhero Month, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone, send in your superhero action figures or T-shirts. To that Arizona location.
And you're our hero because you're able to send the message. And that's what I love is now you're a regular with our show. And so, and with Child Help partnering with us, you can help spread the word to all these young kids that are going to be listening to this.
Yeah.
Because if somebody is going through something, they know now that they can call.
Yeah.
So sure. Thank you so much.
Abby, how old are you?
I'm 14.
Oh my God. Mom, I know you're proud. I know you're so 14.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, so.
Can Mom come say hello at least? At least come say hello. Come on.
Come on, Mom.
Mom, you gotta
She's
come
gotta
say hello.
She's gotta be proud, Mom.
It's my pretty mom.
Come say hello.
Hi, everyone. It's Evie's mom and Porter's mom and Kira's mom.
But you don't have a name.
No.
No
name.
No.
Hillary.
My name's Hillary.
Hillary.
Thank you so much, Hillary.
Hillary,
for bringing them. We do appreciate it. Now, do you have a moment that was your biggest moment in your career? 14.
That's a great question. And also, I don't know, Quita, the world that's listening has to also know that Evie has really dealt with a loss. Her father passed during her, she was with America's Got Talent, and she was trying to compete in that, and she had such grace and just dealt with it like very strong. And I think the world was watching you, and it's just amazing how you, your strength, I get strength from watching you.
Thank you.
What got you through it, Evie?
Really, my family was a huge, huge support. With everything that was happening with my dad, like, it was a huge blessing to be at America's Got Talent because, like, there were so many people there who, like, you could just feel everyone's love and support, and it wasn't even like a competition. Even when people were on the stage and they were saying, you're going through, you're going home, like, it didn't even feel like a competition. We just all loved each other so much, and it was just really like everyone there that helped me get through, and my faith and my community at home and my church and everything.
I love your faith. The faith is a big deal,
you.
Isn't
yeah.
it? It is.
It is. Yeah. And
love it.
We just had to believe that everything would work out. And
it's like your song.
God's
it's
plan,
it's okay.
Yeah. It's gonna be an okay.
It's gonna
day.
Be okay day.
Yeah.
Is that how you wrote that song? Is that how you...
Yeah, so when I wrote that song, it was like, it doesn't have to be a great day every day. Even, like, some days can suck. Like, you can have pretty bad days sometimes.
It's reality.
But, yeah, but it's okay to have bad days, but it's all about how we look at them, because after rain, there's a rainbow, And so there's always just
from bad things, good things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I love the positivity. You done good, Mom. You're done good.
Hillary,
all right, what are you singing for?
Complimenting you.
This is all right, I need to hear.
Let's go to a song. Right.
Let's do it.
Where have all the good men gone? And where are all the gods? Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night, I toss and I turn, and I dream of what I need. Somewhere after midnight, in my wildest fantasy, somewhere just beyond my reach, there's someone reaching back for me. Racing on the thunder and rising with the heat. It's gonna take a Superman to sweep me off my feet. I need a hero. I'm holding on for a hero till the end of the night. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and gotta be fresh from the fight. I need a hero. I'm holding on for a hero till the morning light. It's gotta be sure and it's gotta be soon and it's gotta be larger than life, larger than life. Up where the mountains meet the heavens above, where the line is placed, the sea. I can swear there's someone somewhere watching me. Through the wind and the chill and the rain and the storm and the blood, I can feel his approach like a fire in my blood. I need a hero. I'm holding on for a hero till the end of the night. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. I need a hero. I'm holding on for a hero till the morning light. He's gotta be sure and it's gotta be soon and it's gotta be larger than night.
That's a perfect song right after Child Help.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that one. That one's saucy.
Right?
So as you're singing, I'm watching Porter, and he's into it with you. I have to know, though, how are you guys at home?
We hate each other. I'm just kidding.
I would not have guessed that.
No, I feel like we're probably the closest out of all the siblings.
So are you guys going to miss each other when you go away to school?
Maybe.
I'm so sad. Don't say that.
Maybe a little bit, but not that much.
Is it because
he's the one
with
your props
on the two lines? Is that what this is about?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did give you props for like an entire song when you realized.
That's because I actually wrote the entire.
Not I.
He wants some writing credit.
You're a one versus
the truth comes out.
I gave you all the.
I literally signed a thing giving you the rights to the song. So don't even. I have.
No,
but you signed it. It's too late.
I wrote the second verse and the other half of the chorus.
Okay.
So
this is I'm loving it. It's siblings. See, it's real.
Okay, but we honestly do really love each other too.
Oh, there we go.
We need the Rocky theme song. Right.
She's ready. Are you ready?
I'm hoping every time you're back from college,
we get to have you on the show with Evie.
Yeah.
And we can you know, duke it out on show, right?
He's going on a mission first. He'll be gone for 2 years. Where's somewhere. The mission? We don't know yet.
Two? Oh, wow.
Because maybe
when will you find out? Well, we should have you on and like hear about your mission and what your plans for it are.
I will have my application, my papers in sometime in April. So I should have a call anytime after that, and then I'll leave sometime after my 18th birthday in June.
Sweet.
Can I send my kids to your house?
Is there any way you're able to choose where to go, or are you
100%? No. Well, so it's like
somewhere.
It depends. Sometimes it depends. Like if sometimes it depends on your health. Like if you aren't like well enough to go like to Africa or something, like somewhere where you need a lot of like a strong immune system and like everything. Mm-hmm. So some people, there's like service missions where you can go like. And just like,
well, I'm hoping that Porter can film little sustainability wherever he is, whatever part of the world he's in.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Right?
You're live. If you say you're going to do it, you are live. Go ahead.
Will you do that for us, Porter?
For sure, yeah.
And you guys like, please?
I'll definitely take lots of pictures, for sure.
We like little videos and pictures.
Yeah.
A little bit hoping you're sent to one of the poles so you can film the animals. Which one is the polar bear?
That's the North Pole.
North Pole.
I mean, they have polar bears in like Alaska, so
now,
maybe.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to ask, because you were talking earlier about the GMOs.
Yeah.
And you were saying, because a lot of people, we are just against them. Monsanto's bad, bad, bad. And you're saying, look, they're not all bad.
Yeah.
So explain that more. How do you know what's good and what's bad and what's being mixed and contaminated and what isn't?
So,
great question, Quita.
Yeah, it is an excellent question.
Great question.
Stop it.
we have a
fantastic
whole 4 minutes
question.
To answer it.
So,
thanks.
It comes up a lot. Yeah, it comes up a lot. So we have a divide here of the science. We haven't had any evidence saying that it's intrinsically bad for us, that genetically modifying organisms is bad. But what we've had is the companies that have this power, some of them abusing it,
exactly.
Like Monsanto. So like they were selling genetically modified seeds. A lot of them donated. They were donating seeds, and they were trying to, you know, but they were really making a wrong move because they were making them sterile so that like they had to, farmers kept having to come back to them for mm-hmm. those genetically modified seeds. But there is the good side to this. Like corruption will get into any aspect of any business. But like I have an uncle who lives in the Philippines right now. He works for the International Rice Research Institute. And they've been working for several years trying to genetically modify rice so that they can grow in dry climates, because rice is one of the it's the one crop that most widespreadly goes straight from the farms to the tables, that people just eat rice.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a good side to it, and it definitely can have a lot of benefits.
Okay, so we only have a few more minutes, so I just want to ask Porter what he can do to spread the word about sustainability and saving the polar bears and and conserving wildlife. And recycling to his peers and his students, and what are your three things of advice that you could give to anybody that's listening, and what are you going to go out there and do?
I think the three best things you can do is to, one, make small changes in your everyday life that that compound, you know, don't be part of the problem yourself, to be conserving as much as you can, to share with others, to when people bring up this stuff, be willing to share and be willing to, you know, talk about it.
Well, sharing's especially smart too, because usually you're not going to use everything that you have. So if you can share, maybe there's more to go around, and then less will be wasted too.
Yeah.
Zero free waste life. Wait, what is
zero
it?
Zero waste life.
What's
our goal?
Well, minimalistic. Minimalistic is so important.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. What else?
And, to learn as much as you can about it.
We're out of time, so King is trying to come up with the short slogans.
Yeah. So can we say
minimalistic is life?
We want to end with a song, but what are we doing here?
Oh,
we're saving the planet.
One show at a time. And we don't really have a time for a song. So thank you guys.
Bye. We'll give it to you social media, guys. Thanks for watching in the green room. .green. Bye guys.
Later, Gators.
Bye.
thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.